Section 2, the degree of men's natural enmity to God. I now proceed to say something with respect to the degree of this enmity, tending in some measure to show how great enemies to God are natural men. 1. They have no love to God. Their enmity is mere enmity without any mixture of love. A natural man is wholly destitute of any principle of love to God, and therefore never had the least exercise of this love. Some natural men have better tempers than others, and some are better educated than others, and some live a great deal more soberly than others, but one has no more love to God than another, for none have the least spark of that. The heart of a natural man is as destitute of love to God as a dead, stiff, cold corpse is of vital heat. John 5:43. I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. 2. Every faculty and principle of action is wholly under the dominion of enmity against God. The nature of man is wholly infected with this enmity against God. He is tainted with it throughout, in all his faculties and principles. And not only so, but every faculty is entirely and perfectly subdued under it, and enslaved to it. This enmity against God has the absolute possession of the man. The Apostle Paul, speaking of what he was naturally, says, I am carnal, sold under sin. The understanding is under the reigning power of this enmity against God, so that it is entirely darkened and blinded with regard to the glory and excellency of God. The will is wholly under the reigning power of it. All the affections are governed by enmity against God. There is not one affection, nor one desire, that a natural man has, or that he is ever stirred up to act from, but what contains in it enmity against God. A natural man is as full of enmity against God as any viper, or any venomous beast, is full of poison. 3. The power of the enmity of natural men against God is so great that it is insuperable by any finite power. It has too great and strong a possession of the heart to be overcome by any created power. Indeed, a natural man never sincerely strives to root out his enmity against God. His endeavors are hypocritical. He delights in his enmity, and chooses it. Neither can others do it, though they sincerely, and to their utmost, endeavor to overcome this enmity. If godly friends and neighbors labor to persuade them to cast away their enmity, and become friends to God, they cannot persuade them to it. Though ministers use never so many arguments and entreaties, and set forth the loveliness of God, tell them of the goodness of God to them, hold forth God's own gracious invitations, and entreat them never so earnestly to cast off their opposition, and be reconciled, yet they cannot overcome it. Still they will be as bad enemies to God as ever they were. The tongue of men or of angels cannot persuade them to relinquish their opposition to God. Miracles will not do it. How many miracles did the children of Israel see in the wilderness? Yet their enmity against God remained, as appeared by their often murmuring. And how often did Christ use miracles to this end without effect, but the Jews obstinately stood out? Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, now often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And how great did the enmity of these people appear to be after all! How spiteful and venomous were their hearts towards Christ, as appears by their cruel treatment of him, and his last sufferings. 4. They are mortal enemies to God. That is, they have that enmity in their hearts that strikes at the life of God. A man may be no friend to another, and may have an ill spirit towards him, and yet not be his mortal enemy. His enmity will be satisfied with something short of the death of the person. But it is not so with natural men. With respect to God, they are mortal enemies. Their imbecility is no argument that this is not the tendency of the principle. Natural men are enemies to the dominion of God, and their nature shows their goodwill to dethrone him if they could. Yea, they are enemies to the being of God, and would be glad if there was no God. And therefore it necessarily follows that they would cause that there should be none, if they could. Psalm 14:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. This implies not only an aptness to question the being of God, but that he inclines it should be so. His heart says, 1e. His inclination says, The words in the original are, "The fool hath said in his heart, no God." That is, "I would have none, I do not desire any, I wish there was none. That would suit my inclination best. Let the world be emptied of a God, he stands in my way." And hence he is an atheist in his heart. The viper's poison is deadly poison. And when he bites, he seeks the precious life, and men are in this respect a generation of vipers. Their poison, which is enmity against God, seeks the life of God. Matthew 3:7. O generation of vipers! Psalm 58:3, 4. The wicked are estranged from the womb, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. Deuteronomy 32:32, 33. For their vine is the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah their grapes are the grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their vine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. The divine nature being immortal, and infinitely out of our reach, there is no other trial possible, whether the enmity that is naturally in the heart against God be mortal or no, but only for God to take on him the human nature and become man, so as to come within man's reach. There can be no other experiment. And what has been the event? Why, when once God became man, and came down to dwell here, among such vipers as fallen men, they hated and persecuted him, and never desisted till they had imbrued their hands in his blood. There was a multitude of them that appeared combined in this design. Nothing would do, but he must be put to death. All cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him! Away with him!" They had rather Barabbas, who greatly deserved death, should live, than he should not die. Nothing would restrain them from it. Even all his preaching, and all his miracles, but they would kill him. And it was not the ordinary kind of execution that would satisfy them. But it must be the most cruel and most ignominious they possibly could invent. And they aggravated it as much as they could, by mocking him, and spitting on him, and scourging him. This shows what the nature and tendency of man's enmity against God is. Here it appeared in its true colors. 5. Natural men are greater enemies to God than they are to any other being whatsoever. Natural men may be very great enemies to their fellow creatures, but not so great as they are to God. There is no other being that so much stands in sinners' way, in those things that they chiefly set their hearts upon, as God. Men are wont to hate their enemies in proportion to two things, namely their opposition to what they look upon to be their interest, and their power and ability. A great and powerful enemy will be more hated than one who is weak and impotent. But none is so powerful as God. Man's enmity to others may be got over time, may wear it out, and they may be reconciled. But natural men, without a mighty work of God to change their hearts, will never get over their enmity against God. They are greater enemies to God than they are to the devil. Yea, they treat the devil as their friend and master, and join with him against God. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning,